So protests at Yale and Ithaca, resignations of university administrators under pressure at Claremont McKenna in Missouri, they're all bringing into the open simmering tensions over race and cultural insensitivity on campuses across the country. To drill down on that conversation, we're bringing in Tricia Rose, professor of Africana Studies at Brown University. Welcome, Tricia.
Yes. Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you. But we've got protests happening on more than 20 college campuses this week. That means frustration among students on racial insensitivity has got to have been brewing for some time. Why has it come to a head now?
Well, you know, I think the way I think of that question is more to say, you know, why hasn't it come up sooner, right? Mm. Which is to say that, you know, one of the things that has happened in the media around these issues is to sort of imagine that these are just miniature slights and that students are just exploding for nothing out of context. But if you look at most of these campuses, students have a record of long-term investment trying to make changes. And I think now has everything to do with, you know, a combination of factors. You know, the Missouri case was very inspirational with the athletes. But I also think we're ending the Obama era. I think people are realizing that, you know, they're going to have to do this, right? That this isn't going to be a symbolic figurehead presidential context. That a lot has gotten worse.
They've got to take things into their own hands.
Yeah, I think so.
But let me ask you, because we heard about the dean at Claremont McKenna having to resign after there were hunger strikes and protests over an email she sent saying the college would work to serve students that, quote, don't fit into our CMC mold. Now, offended students felt that she was saying that some kids don't fit in or maybe even don't belong in there. But to other ears, it sounds like she's saying, well, this may have been the common kind of CMC student or mold, but like she's trying to be sensitive and bring everyone in, integrate everyone. What do you think?
No, I think that language suggests that there is a fixed mold. A mold is itself a fixed structure that you pour things into and create, an outcome, and that these are people who simply don't fit that mold, and that we're going to try to help them, but they've already been identified as outsiders, as people in need of fixing, rather than a system that excludes and marginalizes some existing members of the community, right? Once you basically, if you've admitted a student to Claremont or to Brown or to Yale or somewhere, you've said they're part of the community. Now, either they're 100% part of the community or they're not. Now, if they're 100% part of the community, then the mold must be different. And once that's the case, then you wouldn't say something like that. You would basically acknowledge that we have a wide range of people and we have to work together to create both a civil, a just, a fair, a competent, not only a listening, but a proactive context.
So perhaps a very poor choice of words in this case. But tell us
again, that it's not just those words. I'm sure this one individual dean is not what this protest is about. As your previous guest who said they spoke to many students at the school, they've been concerned about many, many things for a long time. So we don't want to overread one incident.
Well, let's talk about those concerns. What's the long-term goal of these protests? Once they remove these deans or faculty, what is their next step?
Well, I don't think there's a systemic plan, right, that everyone is reading from a playbook. But I think what many of these requests are about are a set of behaviors, institutional actions that will change the climate and the context for their experience on the campus. So that means, you know, making it clear that when the institution speaks this or in ways like the Yale incident, that there are consequences, right? You can't just create additional climates of disrespect, hostility, and disregard from an institutional standpoint. So that's one thing. But then they're also asking for the study of people of color to be an important part of the curriculum, not marginal, not segregated, not a handful, not isolated from the so-called traditional, so-called mainstream disciplines. And they're asking for attention to the ways their economic conditions might impact, the way fraternities and sororities may be responding to students of color. They're basically, you know, the mentorship gap, right? They're basically responding across a wide range of facets to say these things work together to create a very problematic and detrimental climate for us on this campus.
What do you say to those who say college is not a time to be coddled? It's a time to be challenged, to learn how to cope in a tough world and engage in a civil way with opposing opinions. In some of these videos, the kids sound really angry. Quick answer. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, the university is a sequestered place where we're intending to develop young people's minds, their spirits, and in that sense, we have an obligation on these campuses to make it as relatively safe as possible. There's no place that's going to be safe, but we are not meant to be an incubator for all the ills of the world at the same time as we're holding them to incredibly high intellectual standards and personal growth standards.
Thank you, Professor Tricia Rose of Brown University. It's here and now.